Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Porter.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. We're trying to start.
Yeah, baby.
College football in full effect. NFL about a week away. The time is now, people. Fantasy football, draft tomorrow night.
Never stops.
All right.
And here's like, you know, this, the month of August is done, man. I've still got some money in the bank. Man, it's been a good month, man. There you go. Out of all the challenges.
So, again. God is good.
Yes, he is. We're trying to get Gary on because, I don't know, my guy Gary, I know you haven't been talking. It's too early to be talking junk, so I'm surprised why you're not at least showing up on the Zoom now. I'm going to have you come back in. I'm going to stop this video for you, man. Come back in and try, but at least we got Gary on the phone. We missed him last week, and JQ is running a little late, so we're going to get this party started as always. So, man, we have a lot of things to discuss. You know, we're still working on the Facebook Live. That's something I cannot wait to get that going, too. But in the interim, while we're waiting for everything to kind of get settled with the dust and the cuts and the final rosters finalized, let's check in with the crew. I'm going to start with you, Rob, as Gary gets kind of figured out some stuff. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get the show started. Had a great Mexican lunch today, man. It was phenomenal. So, you know, all is good.
I'm pretty sure there's no asparagus in that situation because I don't think the our compadres have asparagus as far as the menu. But so you're probably spared from that.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I
didn't have any asparagus today.
It's
on my lunch menu for tomorrow, though. I will have asparagus tomorrow for lunch for sure. I already know what I'm having for lunch tomorrow. Some good old jerk chicken and some asparagus.
Meals out.
You already know what you're going to have for lunch. Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's already prepared and ready.
Wow. Gary, I don't know how you're feeling now.
All right.
How you feeling, Gary?
You know what, I'm doing all right. Trying to figure this whole Zoom thing out, but other than that, doing okay. I'm a little surprised about this quarterback deal that got sprung upon the Cowboys, you know, with this Trey Lance thing from the Niners. I hope it's a good deal for the Cowboys. I think it's, you know, for a fourth round pick, I think it's a pretty good deal. They gave up on him, and you know, we'll see how this. I hope Purdy falls apart this year. So that's what I'm rooting for.
Gary's coming in hot, not even on the topic. He's like, let's talk about this. I love it.
Yep. JQ said he finds a way to add cowboy stuff in there. So he did.
Well, When you look at that whole situation,
yeah, I mean, you look at this as the Cowboys taking a flyer on a player. Obviously, we know Trey Lance is talented. There's no question about it. He's coming off a major knee injury. And, you know, a lot of times it takes you 2 years to recover from that, right? And he's just a year removed from that injury, right? And so this is a situation where the Cowboys taking a flyer on the player. And I agree with Gary for trading a fourth-round pick. You know, it's worth taking a flyer. You may hit, you may miss, right? But I think it's a risk worth taking, right, for somebody of his talent. And You know, I know the 49ers have already come out, and kudos to them for coming out and already admitting, hey, we made a mistake. But we got to remember, I mean, they drafted Trey Lance after playing one game. Remember, that was the COVID draft, right? They were really basing a lot of that off of his athletic ability, right, and his talent. But you didn't get to see a whole lot of material on tape, right? So they were really, you know, not to take up for the 49ers or anything, but you were really just going off of his talent, his workouts. You didn't have a whole lot of game tape to go off of, you know, that particular year. Right. And you played one football game, and that was it. And it was definitely now, there were several other teams that were interested in Trey Lance that high in the draft, too. So they weren't the only team in that situation. But to the 49ers' credit, they did find a quarterback in the seventh round that kind of offset their first round a bit there.
Yeah, they
got lucky.
I think that with Coach McCarthy, he had kind of a not a similar situation, but he had Brett Favre, and they drafted Rodgers, and, you know, they had that sort of a thing. So now he knows how to bring a quarterback along. So if he can do that with, this kid and, you know, maybe he'll be able to bring out the best of him, the best version of him, whatever that may be.
Yep.
There's always an interesting kind of dichotomy with the 49ers, Mike McCarthy, Cowboys, and whatnot, too, because Mike McCarthy was there actually whenever Alex Smith, they were debating between Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers, and they picked Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers. And that's interesting how that played out. And then a couple years later, he goes and, you know, obviously to Green Bay, and then, you know, he's got Aaron Rodgers there. And this is kind of an interesting, you know, situation, too, right? So it's just, you know, I don't know if it's Mike McCarthy. I don't know.
He benefited from his bad choice.
Absolutely benefit. So you got lucky, and then this is kind of full circle, right, whenever you're coming back around, looking at the situation with Trey Lance. And I agree with both of you. Obviously, it's a good opportunity to take a flyer on a guy. He's still young, right? He's still a young quarterback. And
23.
The great scout, Gil Brandt, used to talk about having quarterbacks, right? And that's a shout-out. He used to be the scout for the Cowboys, too, I want to say, as well. But he was talking about you have to have at least, 30 games under your belt to have a true assessment of a quarterback in college. And like you said, Rob, I don't think Trey Lance played more than 17 if I'm looking at, like, his whole, like, season or something like that, too, COVID season and whatnot, too. So he just didn't have enough games under his belt. So that's a tough situation to try to get this guy talent. And, you know, he's there but just got hurt. And the 49ers absolutely got lucky that Brock Purdy played as well as he did, because if Purdy didn't play that well, they wouldn't be making this decision. Like, what if there's a situation where Trey Lance wasn't, I'm sorry, Brock Purdy didn't play as well. So that'd be a whole other conversation. But they got lucky. That's all I can say. So let's keep this going here.
Well, we don't know if they got lucky. We don't know if they got lucky yet because
they got lucky.
No, because hear me out. That's a small portion of that of last year. Okay, so all these teams that they're playing this year are going to have all that information, and they're going to take away whatever they feel his strengths are, and then that quarterback has to adjust. Now we're going to see how good or where Brock Purdy is this year, I believe. I believe last year. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And I'm saying I agree with you from that statement, Gary. I'm saying they got lucky they got a quarterback because, you know, at least for now, I'm with you that it seems like a pretty instant step. The guy that's the last player to play as well as he did, you're like, man, you guys, we'll see, like I said.
Right.
Because at this juncture, you got Sam Darnold, and we're like, what the hell is that about? But they got their guy to kind of play, you know, definitely something goes wrong, they have him as the backup because Jimmy Garoppolo is not coming through that front door, right? So, you know, a couple things that have to kind of play out. And we'll talk about it because there's a lot of quarterbacks that are out there that got cut. It's only have one quarterback. So, again, it's going to be an interesting situation going. This is probably a very, very interesting season, I'd say, for everyone because quarterbacks, you know, that's what makes a team. So we're going to talk about that. I want to throw out the numbers really quickly for those who want to reach out. The same number calling is the 424 243-9519. Want to get that out there. Follow us on X at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and hit us up on Facebook as well. We've got a lot of things to do, to discuss, and we'll jump into this too as well. So, man, we came out with the bang. Hey, Gary, I hope it's not like a little slot on your computer that kind of like blocks your camera. That's something I could think about, man, because I'm not sure why we can't see you. So I'm trying to make
sure. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Look at the bottom left hand. Look at the bottom left hand where it says start video. Click on that button. You might have just have it muted.
On the okay.
The,
yeah,
the bottom like left hand corner.
In the, there it is. It
should be a button that says start video. Don't hit join audio. Just hit start video.
Yeah, I did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The videos failed for some reason. I don't know why.
All right, well, we'll get to that lovely bald head for this evening. All right, all good. So let's get the party started here. We got to talk about two USFL players that actually made some NFL rosters. I don't know if you had a chance to look at this, Gary, but it's kind of going to start off with you, man. So let's get this party started with that.
Well,
I'm looking at this.
The one thing I would say is, you know, first of all, congratulations to both of these players. And second of all, I'm so glad that Marr is gone from the Cowboys. I am so glad he's gone. And, you know, this Aubrey that we picked up, the kicker from the USFL, you know, I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be definitely better. I know that Marr cost us a couple of games last year. And we also, even in that game against the 49ers, when we could have kicked the 45-yard field goal, right around 45, 47, 44-yard field goal, we had no confidence in him. And so they went for it instead of taking the points, like on 4th and 5, 4th and 4, 4th and 6, and got stopped by the Niners with no points at all. And I think that was a... that was devastating to not have that kicker that can, you know, tighten that game up. So I'm glad he's gone, and I've got big expectations for this kid coming in, and I think he'll do okay. As far as what the Panthers got and the linebacker, what is his name, LeBryan Ray.
LeBryan Ray.
That's good for him, too. Yeah, he made the squad, so hell, that's fantastic. You know, you see so many of these players that are, you know, on the verge of being cut or, you know, bouncing around from practice squad to practice squad. These guys are phenomenal athletes. And sometimes there's just, they're in a position where maybe that team's heavy with players. And then you're strapped with how many players you can have on the team. So there's a lot of times you can get some really good talent in there that it's just not quite there. And that's why these teams, you know, when these teams go to these practice squads, that's why these other teams pick these guys up and they get moved around a lot just because of their talent level. So I've had an opportunity to work with several players that have been bounced around like that, and you know, they're phenomenal athletes. So congratulations to both of these guys, and probably in the future you're going to see more players like that. You know, that may be a new pool of players that they're looking at.
Yeah. Speaking of Brett Maher, Sean Payton at the Broncos cut him as well, and so he's a free agent again. Yeah, so, I mean, the Cowboys picked up Brandon Aubrey. Birmingham Stallions won the USFL championship the last 2 years. It also helped that they got to play not only their home games in Birmingham, but all their road games in Birmingham, too. So all their games were in Birmingham. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, so maybe the USFL will finally take the league out of Birmingham this coming season. But yeah, it also they did. But I mean, he did have some great kicks and some game-winning kicks to help them win some games. So he's definitely proven himself on that level. The Cowboys also, you know, picked up a player out of USFL last year too, Kevontae Turpin, who's with the New Jersey Generals. Yeah. A great return guy for the Cowboys last year. So, and it also helps that Darryl Moose Johnson is the president of the USFL. Old Cowboy, probably sending
yep.
Jerry Jones and then some notes from some players.
Oh,
so,
I'm sure he is.
It seems like the Cowboys have a good connect there with the USFL, and a couple of guys even made practice squads too. So, you know,
Herschel.
I'll be honest, I can't say I watched a lot of the USFL, but I did catch maybe a few games this past year, only because New Orleans has a team. So, but they never got to play any of their games in New Orleans. They were all in Birmingham.
Birmingham Stallions, we love it. No, this is definitely a good look because I think this is kind of key that you can find talent anywhere. I think it's very exciting, especially like you said, Gary. If you are a player you have to be in such good shape. But talent is talent. So just I know we talk about how violent the league is sometimes, but if you can play, hopefully there's a spot for you. This comes out to opportunities and kind of luck and kind of the right situation too, because. Gary, I'm pretty sure they vetted, Aubrey to kind of make sure he was ready. And like you said, Rob, he had a lot of game-winning kicks. So they're like, this guy has a different makeup from Mara, right? So they definitely knew this guy at least can handle the pressure, right? So he's been through that, and he's kicked in the preseason. So, good opportunity for him to kind of prove it. And then this is another paving the way of other athletes that are also in the USFL as well. So talent is talent, guys. So we'll keep it going. Mm-hmm. Same thing like the XFL too. So it's like more time to get all these opportunities. Let's talk about this as a nice smooth transition into some expectations for Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. And I'll be honest, I haven't watched a lot of the Broncos. I mean, I was reading up some stuff whenever I was preparing for the show, and it was talking about whenever I started typing, it was like the expectations, and it kind of skipped to Sierra. I had to, like, get that out of the way. But no, not Sierra, but the actual Broncos, right? So, anyway, it was talking about how he's been performing pretty well in practices. Rob, you know how notorious of a quarterback person Sean Payton is, and, this is kind of an interesting situation because I'm sure – You're probably getting the best version of Russell Wilson because he realizes his situation is on line, his job is on line, his career may be on line, right? Because if he plays bad, what happens going to 2024, right? So I'm sure he wants to play well. He wants to kind of get that past season, off of his resume, if you will. Sean Payton wants to prove something too. So this may be an interesting situation. So what say you as far as the expectations for both Russell Wilson and the Broncos this season?
Yeah, and I personally think that if Russell Wilson does not have a good year this year, that I think we can officially say that, he's on a downturn of his career, because I think we saw it even in his last year in Seattle, and we tried to convince ourselves that maybe he still had something in the tank and go help Denver, but it was even worse last year. But I think if he doesn't have success with Sean Payton, I think we can officially say, hey, Denver's going to be looking for a new quarterback. Being said, on paper, I think this Denver team could be really competitive this year. I think they're going to have a really good defense. Obviously, Jerry Jeudy is out, and we don't know how long he's going to be out for. That could be a sting because they were expecting big things out of him. And I thought we talked about this about a month or so ago, but I had the Broncos floor at about 9-8, and I had their ceiling at about 11-6. And I'm still somewhere in that ballpark. So I definitely think they improved this year. I think Sean Payton alone gets them 3 or 4 wins from his coaching ability. So I see them at, the Saints were 9-8 a few years ago when Jameis Winston got hurt and Trevor Siemian was the quarterback. So, if they can go 9-8 with Trevor Siemian, I think they can go 9-8 with Russell Simmons. No, not Russell Simmons, Russell Wilson.
You're pretty Russell Simmons, this guy.
Yeah, so I see.
Well,
a floor of 9-8, ceiling of 11-6.
I can see that. I think that with Russell Wilson, you know, he's going to be better prepared with a head coach like Sean Payton. I think that, you know, Sean will evaluate his abilities, play with his strengths, where maybe this other guy really didn't. I know that JQ and I both were pretty, you know, we were pretty up on Wilson going to Denver before the start of last season. And, you know, with that said, it was a complete disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with Peyton there, I think it'll definitely be a better situation for Russell Wilson and for the team. But like I did say, Rob, though, he's got to show something this year. And if he doesn't, they're going to move on. Father Time's undefeated.
JQ has joined us, and Nas has joined us as well. And we got a full group here. JQ, did you want to jump in on this, man?
No, I just want to tell you that FC Cincinnati beat Atlanta. So, yeah.
You know what? I ain't got time for you, bro. I ain't got time for this, man. Nas, what's up, man?
I'm
going to come back to that, JQ. Yeah, he's over here. He's trying to rub some stuff in over here.
MLS?
It's all good. I'm going to let you have that moment.
MLS, man.
It's all good. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. I'm coming back to you, JQ. Congrats, man. Naj, get your talk. Then we're going to finish talking about Russell Wilson and the Broncos. But, Naj, I don't know if you want to jump on in this, man. Welcome aboard, as always.
Oh, man. The same, man. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to y'all boys, man. Yeah. I agree with everything y'all said, but ultimately, Russell's special thing was his mobility, that magic to extend plays and then make something happen that nobody expected could happen. And now it just looks like he may have lost that mobility, and I don't know who he is as a quarterback with that. Now, Sean Payton, much better coach, he'll be in a much better offense, so I don't think he'll look as bad as he did last year. But with so much dead money tied to him, I don't know if Sean Payton can get off Russell for the next 2 years, man. He's owed 50 per, 25 of it guaranteed, and if you cut him, the dead money becomes like a penalty to the point of where I don't know what you would do with a football team if that much of your cap is tied up in a guy that ain't there. So it's starting to look like Sean's just going to have to make it work somehow.
You're hoping that
there's always a draft pick.
The cap each year. You try to hope that if there's a way that he plays at least better, like I said, hopefully can't play any worse. That the cap will kind of like eat up certain things too. If there is kind of dead space in there too, and like Rob said, maybe you can get a draft pick. You can absorb some of the salary if he plays that bad. It is interesting, like I said, because I think if you're a Broncos fan, you're kind of hoping for a little nostalgia here because you know what Sean Payton can do with short quarterbacks, right? You know, and I am nowhere putting Russell Wilson in the same league as Drew Brees, but just he kind of knows how to manipulate, you know, give his quarterback too. But Russell's got a good one today, man. So we're kind of curious to see, how this plays out.
Wait. Yeah. Russ got him a chip. He should have two. Drew got him one. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, you got to put a little respect on Russell's name. Like, he got a little fat.
I'm not shitting on him.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying he can't play as worse as he did last year. That's why we're trying to figure out what happened this year going into the Broncos. Because at least, because Nathan, what coaching, that coaching was bad. You know, so I'm saying that at least he's got a good coach, as Naj was talking about. Go ahead, Chicky.
I think what you're going to see, I think what you're going to see Sean do with him this year, Sean's going to get him out of the pocket a lot this year. He's going to get him on some bootlegs. He's going to put him in the comfort zone. He's going to get the screen game going just to get the confidence there and get the accuracy up and things of that nature. And so I think you're going to see a lot, and then, you know, they'll have the opportunity. They should have a pretty good running game. Their offensive line should be improved. Javonte Williams is healthy. The play action should be there for you to take some deep shots at midfield, right? So I think, you know, they're going to put him, try to put him in the best situation just to see. And, you know, I'm going to project that he's going to have a better year. So we'll have to see. But definitely, I if he doesn't, I think we can say, okay, this is officially it for Russell Wilson. It's time to move on and get another quarterback.
I think what you're going to see is a prove it to me and I give you more, you know, I give you more in the office once you prove it to me. I'm going to say, okay, like you just said, I got Javonte, I got P. Ryan. I'm going to run this ball, but the defense, I'm going to allow you to bootleg here and there, but I'm going to let Russ cook like everybody wanted him to do in Seattle. And so he proves to Sean that he can cook efficiently. And as he proves that or doesn't, you'll see the offense either expand or contract to where, like, we've got to win 16-13. But Russ come out and Russ is in better shape and he's playing better ball. Then we open his office up a little bit more and then we let Russ cook a little bit more. So I think Sean is smart enough to know that I'm going to play close to the best initially, especially with Jerry Jeudy being hurt. Then we're going to run the ball and try to play defense. And then as we progress through the season, we get a playmaker back on it. What does Russ do with that team? We're going to stay with the kids, run the ball, play defense. We're going to stay with that Legion of Boom kind of mentality. We're going to play defense. And yeah, I think he's going to adopt a whole lot of those principles until Russ proves to him that, hey, he can handle being trusted in that offense.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to make sure that I was not sitting on you, Russell Wilson.
Go ahead. Yeah. No, I just wanted to ask you, this is reminding me of Eli, where the organization is clearly trying to prop up a guy who is in decline, and maybe they think they can get one or two good years out of him. But I also think this is why Sean Payton made those comments about the Jets coach or offensive coordinator. He's all in because he has to be because so much money is tied up in Russell that I don't think he can get off of him, at least not as fast as he wants.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting season.
Yeah, but you know, Peyton's a sharp guy. You know, Peyton's a sharp guy, and he had to have evaluated this whole entire situation, the money that, you know, was going to be owed to Wilson and everything before he even took this job. So
yep. I'm going to say that.
So that's kind of where I stand with that.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely took the time to kind of pick, you know, what's his situation. I can work with Russell, you know. Maybe he wants to – he has ego, Rob, to say I can turn this team around and make it better, you know. So who knows, man. So he wants to be successful and prove something as well. So I agree with that, Gary. That's enough
you know
thought,
many,
man.
You know how many times drunk Sean Payton yelled into the mirror, Drew couldn't throw the ball 10 yards, and I got him to the Pro Bowl and us to the playoffs in his last 2 years. Like, Sean Payton was one of them guys. Like, I'm not going to hate him. Because Drew was done, and he still got him over.
Oh, my God.
I remember he told Joe Horn, he said, look, Joe, we threw for 5,000 yards, and you barely had 400 of those. We don't need you.
We don't need you. All right. Daily affirmations aside, moving on to the next topic. Let's talk about what's next for Jonathan Taylor. And you talk about another soap opera here. And, you know, you had a situation where, you know, obviously Jonathan Taylor asked for a trade. Then you have the Colts not happy with the trade request that they're getting. So it feels like the Colts kind of hold, you know, all the slaves, they have to definitely hold the cards right now, too. Now, they place them on the PUP list, which is physically unable to perform. Who's going to be out for the first couple of first four games. But we're going to see what happens, right, because there's the first 4 weeks. That's what I'm going to say, first 4 weeks. And then now you look back and you're like, okay, so there's a couple options there. For Jonathan Taylor, do you be like, you know what, do you play? He's going to be afraid going into next spring, so that's the situation, too. If you're the coach, you probably want to get something for him, though. You don't want to, like, let him walk for nothing. But, you know, a situation where you're like, well, you know, if I'm Taylor, do I play or do I sit there and be like, nah, I ain't playing? So you have an interesting dynamic as far as what's going to happen to you. You talk to his agent now, and there were some people that were interested. You know, I know the Dolphins were interested in making trades. And then you have a situation what's happening with running backs, right, where they're not getting their full top pay, you know. So it's like, you have an interesting, and we're not going to say collusion in here, but you have this interesting dynamic that's happening with the Colts. I'm curious to see what happens going into season two. So I'll let you kind of take that, Rob. And it's an interesting situation what's happening with the Colts and who has the power and what's going to happen as far as in the next couple of weeks here.
Well, obviously, the Colts right now are using him. Hey, he's a valuable piece of the franchise right now. They want to get some value in return for him, right? And supposedly the Packers were a surprise team that went after him and actually made an offer,
yep.
Which is surprising when you got Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon up there in Green Bay. So what type of offer did they offer the Colts? But obviously it wasn't good enough. And supposedly the team who we thought had the most interest, the Dolphins, didn't even make an offer. There were some talks, but they didn't make an official offer for Jonathan Taylor. So my thoughts is there's going to be a trade that's going to be worked out here over the next few weeks or so. I still don't think he's going to remain with the Colts. And it's unfortunate because I would have liked to see what he and Anthony Richardson could do together. It's really unfortunate for Anthony Richardson, but I just don't think they're going to be able to make that relationship work. And I think he still gets traded to somewhere. You know, we'll have to see what a team's running back situation is like over the next 2 weeks. Maybe a team gets desperate and pulls the trigger on a trade for him. But, you know, I just don't see that that marriage working anymore. I just think they're going to have to get rid of him and start fresh at the running back position. So it looks like they're going to, check the cut, Kenny and Drake, too. So, I mean, they're real thin at the running back position.
And that's why I think he goes back to Indianapolis. I think the domino you see fall is that Josh Jacobs going back to the Raiders. And they just got to the point where you have to understand at this point that they're just stuck. They're too late in life to change positions. Like, this dude's only making $3.4 million, so he's going to have to play. He don't have the money to hold out. And you see Josh Jacobs go back in. You see Dalvin Cook sell it for, I think it was like $6 million. Like, it's just where they are now. He's looking at the team, reading the tea leaves, and he's smart. Like, well, shit. Well, I only made 3.4, not only, but I made 3.4. If I hold out this franchise, I still made 10. I still a $6 million raise based off what he made this year, right? So, and maybe they give him a little more if he comes in and proves it. I just don't see anybody dealing for him and giving him that big deal. We talk about Miami. Miami's going to play Jalen Ramsey. They're going to play Tyreek Hill. They're going to play Jalen Waller here in a second. They two of their guys are about to pay him, too. Like, you know, Bradley Chubb, like they have to pay as well, so you can't really trade for him and then say, well, if I do, then he's going to want at least a franchise tag of $10 million, where Indianapolis already has that money kind of earmarked for him. They just don't want to pay $16 million a year. They won't even 10, right? So it's tough, and I was a dude that said weeks ago, I don't know if he's going to end up being there, but when Josh Jacobs, as a leading rusher, Jonathan Taylor will be just goes back in, goes to Vegas and say, yeah, baby, I'm back. He just doesn't have any leverage. I just don't see anybody saying, yeah, I'm going to trade this draft pick for him, and then I'm going to give him this $4 million a year at $15 million a year. I just don't know who that team is. Maybe somebody comes out the blue and it shocks him. I just don't see that happening. I feel like they probably have talked to him like, bruh, do what you got to do. They're going to put you on the pup, get healthy, play your thing out. And then trying to go take another deal, but worst comes to worst, you're gonna go from $3.4 million to $10.2 million, and it's not, you know, it's guaranteed for that 1 year. It's not a multi-year kind of deal to make you feel good about yourself, but you're still getting a $6.5 million raise from this year to next year at the very least, more than likely. So,
well, and we've talked about, you know, we've talked about the. You know, the devaluation of these, of that position, you know, the running back position. And it's just, it's mind-boggling that it's devalued like it has. And the game has changed. But it's not going back. In fact, it might even get a little worse, because I don't think there isn't going to be any real decent offer for him, because every team in the league knows that it's a devalued situation. And they may give him a mediocre offer, but I think he's there, and he's just going to have to eat it.
And here's the difference here, and I think here in this situation, that Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley's situation was different. They were already under the franchise tag. And once that deadline passes, there's nothing that you can do. No other team can negotiate them. You can't trade them.
Yeah.
They're stuck with that franchise tag if they're going to come back and play. Well, Josh Jacobs, I mean, I'm sorry, not Jonathan Taylor is not under the franchise tag right now. So there is
right.
still a little leeway there where another team can make a trade and sign into a long-term deal at the same time. So there is a – I'm not going to say he does not have any leverage here. I think he does have some leverage here because he's not under the franchise tag, which is – I think that's what really hurts the other two guys in this situation. And he's trying his best to try to avoid that.
Yeah, but who does that, though? Like, if you see what's happened with these dudes who have been, like I said, the NFL leading rusher, and he had to hold out just to get back to that one-year deal, who else says, okay, I'm going to take you, Jonathan Taylor. Right now, I'm going to give up whatever people talk about to get it. And I'm only going to have to bite this bullet for 1 year for 3.4. What incentive do you have as that team to make that deal to then give him a deal that exceeds the $10 million that the franchise tag is on when everybody else is playing hardball on that same $10 million deal? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't know how you do that if you're a franchise, another one, and say, I'm going to trade for you and give up this pick, and then I'm going to give you more than what no one else would even give the league rusher in this past year. That's why I say he's in trouble. Like, somebody might be crazy, and they might do it, but if everybody's looking at the market and saying, if the NFL's league rusher is only worth this $10 or $11 million, what incentive do I have to give up draft capital and go beyond that $10 or $11 million deal for multiple years for a running back when nobody else is doing that? That's why I say he's in trouble. You see what I'm saying?
Hey, what you got, Nosh? Go ahead, Nosh.
Yeah, dude, I go to a college term on this. This is lack of institutional control. Jim Irsay needs to get the hell out the war room. He needs to stop talking.
Yep.
He needs to stop being involved in everything. He is ruining things. There's a rumor out there that Green Bay made an offer and that when Miami called, that the Colts asked for Jalen Waddle to start the discussion. So, and at that point, you don't really want to trade him. Now you're just being petty.
You hang up the phone.
Acting ridiculous. So the way I look at this is the simple fix on this was to give Jonathan Taylor a short deal, whether it's a two-year deal with a bunch of guaranteed money and a whole gang of bonuses in there, so you can ride out the start of Anthony Richardson's career being able to lean on the running game. But by doing it this way, you could possibly damage Anthony Richardson in his first year, and you still got the problem of, like he said, who's going to be a suitor to trade for Jonathan Taylor. Basically, you're saying, well, we don't think you're worth the money. And then when somebody calls and say, we want 3 first-round picks, like, dude, get out of here. So, yeah, Jim Irsay needs to sit
right.
down.
He's smoking.
Receiver position is a more valuable position now in today's game than the running back position. So you go back
by quite a lot.
The running back position was more valuable than the wide receiver position 30 years ago, but it has definitely changed. So you definitely don't make a deal in wild for Jonathan Taylor. Absolutely not.
Right, but the fix on running backs is there are special ones who should be paid. Now, how do you do it? You give them a short deal, like I said, guarantee a big chunk of change, and you put a whole bunch of bonuses that they got to hit and milestones that they got to hit in order to get the money, to get the extra money. That's how you solve it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you don't do that for every running back, but for somebody like Jonathan Taylor, this is perfect.
Yeah.
I told you.
Hey, there's an injury concern in this situation, too, now. Last year, he only ran for 807 yards. He was hurt for a good bit of the season. And now, already, he's on the PUP list, and he's going to be out the first 4 weeks of the season. So, that's, you know.
Well, I think Jonathan Taylor got some bad advice as well with his agent trying to play hardball, telling him to sit down. Like,
right.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah,
your agent, buddy, you're on the fuck list.
Now, that's a hard conversation for an agent, you know, because you're trying to beef this guy up and tell him how great he is and everything. And then at the same time, you got to tell him, well, you know what, dude? You're not getting paid. You're not getting paid like they used to get paid. You're just not that valuable anymore. That's the balancing act that these agents have to go through.
Right.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm going to go the other direction.
Agree.
Kind of, we were head scratching. I think Jake, you had talked about why the head scratch with the Packers, and I think it's interesting, right? Because you do have Aaron Jones and you have AJ Dillon already on the roster, right? They're one of the best 1-2s in the league, right? But you know, A.J. Dillon is entering in a final year of his rookie deal, right? So that's something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Jones has, like, got one more year behind the 2023 season. So
he took a pay cut, didn't he?
Behind that. He did. So
didn't Arizona get a pay cut?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if you do look at Taylor, he's only 24 years old, right? So if you get this dude, he's mm-hmm. really entering the prime of his career. So now it may be a good move for the Packers. Like, hey, what you thinking about this? So if they get that, now you've kind of eliminated that. You've got one of the best, you know, running backs here. And like you said, give him time to heal up. And then you pair him with Jordan Love. We don't know what's happened with Jordan Love, but now you have him added to that dynamic offense, and who knows what's going to happen to the Packers. So I think it's a weird way. You're like, hey, why are they – but then you got to give the Packers credit for actually kind of thinking two moves ahead here. So if they can pull that off,
right.
You know, it could be a good look for them. So, you know, again, I'm not mad at the Packers for at least kind of making some sense out of that too. So we will keep
right.
an eye
doing
on
their due diligence.
They
did their due diligence.
Yes.
Right. Now, Dre, you're right. They called and said, okay, are you selling this polo for TJ Maxx prices or Nordstrom prices? Oh, Nordstrom Prime.
Here it is. I love it. Great knives. That's why I love knives. Exactly, exactly. So there's calls. So like I said, but if they call, if Miami said, hey, you want Waddle? Yeah, dude, that's crazy. But we're keeping an eye on the Packers. This is going to be interesting what happens with this. Let's talk about some top players that got cut. And Rob, we're going to have some different players, right? Because, you know, this is interesting because, you know, we are all going to have some players. We're not going to go this deep into this, but I'm looking at a lot of quarterbacks on this list, right? I said this earlier. You know, Colt McCoy gets cut, you know, we talked about all of the Packers quarterbacks got – Patriots, I'm sorry. Patriots quarterbacks got cut from, you know, what is it, Bailey Zappi, what's his name, Malik Cunningham. They only got one quarterback
Malik
from the roster, Mac Jones. Yeah, then you had Melvin Gordon getting cut from the Ravens. You know, if you were a fan of, you know, Max Duggan gets cut, you know. Greedy Williams got cut, P.J. Walker, Jake Fromm. I mean, there's a lot of situations where, like, what the hell is – Miles Gaskin, apparently, I think he got cut from the
yep.
Dolphins. So those are
now,
the –
Miles
I mean,
Gaskin got picked up by the Steelers.
But it's interesting how, you know –
shout out to practice
you
are, Gaskin.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. There's so many names on the list. I was going through the names. I'm like, man, you can pretty much talk about anyone that's a bit like an interesting, you know, surprise
right.
cutter. And top players yep. too, so it's just kind of depends on what situation
wait,
you're going to do. Go ahead.
Wait a minute, man. Y'all didn't warn me that guy on here. This motherfucker got on a Texas Longhorn hat, like the black Texas Longhorn hat and T-shirt, and we ain't gonna talk about that. Did I miss that conversation? What the hell?
You
come on, LSU.
Come
on, I don't give a damn. He is in here with a Texas Longhorn hat on, and ain't nobody y'all. Anybody
gonna
say that? Oh, no.
Before you came
oh, hell
on,
no.
You were singing the eyes of Texas, man, before you came on.
Come on, man. How are we having a show with this shit happening?
Hey, I was in Austin for 2 years, man.
I don't give a damn if you was in Austin for 20 years. You from freaking New Orleans.
Hey,
LSU,
LSU is still my first team all the way.
Oh, no, hell no.
And he
hell
gives
no.
me shit. And he gives me
first
shit about stuff. See what happens? What do you
think?
Collect
sports
paraphernalia. No. Come on, man. I'm going to need you to take that shit outside and put it on the fire and burn it. And don't ever put it on camera again.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Dre. Hey, let's be honest. I was going to say, is this motherfucker in black and orange? Like, does he have a nephew? Does he have a nephew like when they're high school? Go Longhorn.
Hook him horn. Hook him horn.
I'm sorry.
Hook him horn. That's what you got to say. No, it's funny.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, getting back to the.
Hey, Robbie.
You taking a picture.
That's what I'm saying. That's right. I took a picture of this.
Oh,
that's
man.
Right. We got to keep this. You started.
He didn't even notice
it. I knew Jake would get kicked out of there.
Listen, like I don't even root for LSU, and I was offended. I was offended for all the other LSU people. I said, he out here talking about these damn tires with this Longhorn shit on. Ain't nobody going to say
that. It's a sports show. We got to mix it up sometimes.
No, the hell you don't. You just wear the shit you're supposed to wear and keep it moving.
Hey man, you two got so much money. You never know. He might be getting the NIL money for this. You never know.
Yeah, hey man, this should be sponsorship, man. Might
NIL
be it from y'all.
Gary,
but,
you see us by the way.
On
Gary,
a serious tip, though, getting back to
yeah,
the players that got cut. So
okay.
I got some similar names to Andre, of course. Bailey Zappi, I was surprised by that. I thought there was some point the last year where he actually played better than Mac Jones, in my opinion. And the Patriots cut. Now, the Patriots did re-sign him to the practice squad. The Patriots still only have one quarterback on the active roster, Mac Jones. So they re-signed Bailey Zappi to the practice squad. They re-signed Lee Cunningham to the practice squad as well. Colt McCoy, 36 years old. You know, that was a little bit of a surprise that he got cut, you know, considering, you know, Kyler Murray is out. Alex Leatherwood, man,
yeah,
first
they
round
said,
pick.
Not little tank, we going Sherman tank. Big, big.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
Alex
God.
Leatherwood, man, first round pick just a couple of years ago, man. He just came to make a roster. And I see the Browns sign him to the practice squad. Rashard Perriman, he's about 28 years old, wide receiver from Indy. He got cut. And I sent you guys this text, Bradley Roby. I was surprised he got cut from the Saints. I thought he was still a solid contributor, but he's 31 years old. He was the fourth corner, and if you're going to be a fourth corner, you got to play special teams. So
yeah,
I think that's what he came down to. And so, but I think he probably still helped the ball club. He hasn't been picked up yet. But I foresee somebody picking up Bradley Roby. I think he can still help a ball club. He's a pretty good slot corner as well, too. So the Saints just had a lot of depth there, but I was still surprised that they let him go. So those are just some names that I had.
Well, when you're doing salary cap finagling like the Saints do, you know anything can happen. But Rashard Perriman, he was dropped because of all the negative energy from fantasy football owners over the years who have picked up Rashard Perriman.
Shut up.
Idea that
shut up.
He thought he's going to do something. He has crushed many a team out here in these streets. And lastly, I got to say, the great Mac Jones and his agent went in there to Bill and company and said, look, man, these people make this fan favorite Zappy dude into something like he's actually good. I'm the captain of this ship. Or not. Like, what y'all going to do? And, yeah, I think Bill and company acted accordingly. They're getting behind Mac, and they're going to roll it out there for him. But I get it, man. Him and his agent, they're tired of the Zappy rumors and whispers. Mac wants the gig, man.
Listen, it's not so much that. I didn't look into it. I've been running around all day. But ain't nobody out here beating the horn trying to get Zappy and that other dude off the Patriots roster. The Patriots know
Listen,
if you want him, yeah, you go ahead and have him if you want to pick him up that bad. They say they do full and goddamn well. They could cut both those dudes and pick them right back up at a reduced rate for the practice squad. I mean, they out there playing chess, 3D chess.
They don't have to move one of them back to active roster.
3D chess. Yeah, but they are. But they know if you want to have him by Lord, you go ahead and have him. But they know good and damn well they can make these moves around and get one around and try to figure out some salary cap stuff, whatever else they were trying to do. Man, they playing chess and not checkers. Ain't nobody out here in these streets telling me, you know what, we can get over this hump if I can get Zappy to be my backup quarterback and potentially be my starter. Who fucking says, sorry, who says that? Nobody. And I'm with you. Arizona is wild red. Like, they might as well go ahead and let Rob come out there in that Texas shit and play quarterback because they just don't care at all. Like, how you have Colt McCoy start all the preseason games they're cutting right before it? Like, come on, man. Arizona's – somebody the best for Arizona because they are wild red. You can't cut Colt McCoy. And not that Colt McCoy is Joe Montana, but he's the best thing you got. Does anybody know the two dudes' names who might be the starting quarterback for Arizona? Anybody?
Joshua Dobbs. Now.
You had to look that shit up.
But guaranteeing that they get Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. in the second, that's guaranteeing it. They're getting the first two picks. This is a guarantee. We don't want to F this up. That's exactly what the Cardinals are doing. We don't want – no, there's no, hey, shit, we're going to go all in. That's what's happening.
Listen, they're going to have all four of us that throw the pass to him, but they keep playing.
Whatever,
Whatever, yep. Whatever he got cut.
They traded for Joshua
like,
Dobbs,
who's going to
be a third-string quarterback on the team.
That little GM thing came down to practice. I love it. Watched Colt and said, man, that's a pretty good read he made right there. Get him the hell out
that's
of here.
That's the thing that probably took a chance on Trey Lance.
Got to guarantee that. What you got to say, Gary? What you got?
Well, with New England, they're over under 7.5. And with Mac Jones and nobody else, they'll pick up somebody, but they won't be worth a shit, just like Mac Jones isn't. I'm going under the 7.5 wins on the Chiefs.
I haven't even looked at the schedule, and I would agree with that.
Their defense is really good, but that offense is terrible, man. So, I agree. But don't forget, man, Mac Jones got hurt that game earlier in the season where he tried to go when he was hurt, banged up. And when he went over to the sideline and Zappi came running onto the field, those Patriot fans were screaming for Zappi. Dude, Mac Jones ain't forgot.
Fan favorite.
Screaming
so
for Zappi.
That no. Actually, quarterback is the most popular person on the team. We got about 10 minutes here, so I'm going to let you guys get some topics in before we wrap up, too. So JQ, I know that you joined us a little late because you were doing your thing, but I'll give you time to pick the topic. You can have some fun. And, I see what you got. No one cares about FC Cincinnati right about now, but, it's all good. I say congratulations, man. It's all good, man. There you go.
You know what my topic is? My topic is why are we still allowing Rob Ford to be on this show talking all that LSU shit with all that Taylor stuff on the No.
I love it.
I'm messing with you. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
You know I've been on here with Florida State gear, too, but you know I can't wear that this week.
But yeah, listen, you damn sure can't.
who's going with the topic? Is JQ?
You go ahead.
Yeah, you can pick a topic. He passed it to you, man. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, let's see what we got here. Looks like the Vikings and Justin Jefferson are gonna work out a long term extension. They're looking to make him the highest paid wide receiver in league history. They plan to do so before week one, and we got to go over these college football predictions, right? Well, at least one in particular. Deion Sanders, Colorado at TCU. Fox is hyping up this game like it's a one versus number two. I mean, they've been running promos all week. Deion Sanders, obviously I'm rooting for him to be successful. But, man, their offensive and defensive line just don't look like they're going to have it. And I think TCU is actually slightly overrated this year, even at 17. But I think they win this game over Colorado. And, of course, I'm going to pick Texas over Rice. I got on their gear. And I think that will be like 102-3 in that game. So Texas will blow out Rice. And LSU and Florida State, you know.
Florida State, yeah. You're picking Florida State, too. All right.
I'm trying to be objective as possible. And as much as it hurts, I am going to pick Florida State in this game. The game's in Orlando. LSU
wow.
Mason Smith suspended by the NCAA for this game, All-American defensive tackle. And I'm hoping I'm wrong here. I'm hoping LSU wins, but that's going to be a big blow not having Mason Smith. Florida State looks loaded on offense with Jordan Travis at the quarterback position. They're two really good wide receivers. Jared Verse, probably one of the best defensive ends in the country. I think we probably will be able to contain him. But I'm going to go Florida State 34-31. They win by a field goal over LSU. Hope I'm wrong.
Well, on the college football overrated side, the ACC, I'm going with Florida State as the overrated team. I'm going with Big 12, I'm going with Texas as the overrated team. In the Big 10, I'm going with Michigan as the overrated team. In the Pac-12, I'm going with USC as the overrated team. In the Southeastern Conference, Texas A&M. What's that?
That's the first one I'm agreeing with you on. USC, I think they're overrated.
And that was what I got that information from Saturday Blitz. That was just their pick, so I thought, hey, that was good. I'm going to go with that.
I love it. He's honest. I love it. But I agree with you. I was probably one of two people that watched the San Jose State USC game on Saturday night, and I was not impressed with USC at all. I know they won the game by like 30 points, but you know I was expecting them to be a lot better on defense, and San Jose was even pushing them around, and they had dudes the size of Andre on the offensive line. And was pushing dudes,
damn,
pushing
damn
them around. So,
that's
I mean,
up,
that had
Andre,
to be concerning to me.
He's got heart.
So I did have USC as an overrated team, but they're probably the only team in the top 10 that I think is overrated. That's in AP top 10. I had some other teams. I think TCU and Kansas State, their rankings are based off their seasons last year, and I think TCU lost a ton of talent. Kendre Miller, Max Dugan, Quentin
Johnson
at the wide receiver position. They lost a ton of talent off their team, and so did Kansas State, Deuce Vaughn and some others. I think Kansas State would be a little better than TCU, but I think both of them are not top 20 teams this year. So I have those two, and USC is my overrated.
Is anybody else in the ACC outside of Wake Forest? I mean, outside of Clemson and Florida State, ranked in the top 25? Because if they are,
North Carolina
in the overrated. Okay, yeah,
North Carolina,
there it is. Okay, yep, overrated. Anybody that ain't Clemson and Florida State is overrated. They come out of the ACC in the top 25. Come on, let's just stop doing this.
Big fact. And Colorado and Deion are going to get smoked in a really embarrassing way. This is not going to be just a game. Not only do they want to embarrass and destroy Deion in this first year, but he's going to find out that a lot of this is going to be personal. I'm talking about we may see some old-school Urban Meyer, Sean Payton. Let me call a timeout with 2 minutes left while we up 30. Like, I think Deion is in for a big, big, big shock of how much people are invested in not only crushing him, but, dude, what position do you really coach? What X and O's are you running? You may be a pastor slash motivational speaker masquerading as a football coach. This is all let me stop, man, because people will get mad at me for talking about Deion. I'm sorry, man. You're one of the greatest players to ever do it, brother. But I don't know what that clipboard dog. I don't know.
I know. Alcorn State ain't coming on that field.
Wow. Man.
It is Prairie View.
Wow. Tennessee State not coming through that door.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Southern and Grambling is not around the corner. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys, that is the end of our live portion of the show on tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with 12 Man. Talking Sports, we got another draft tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. for those of you all competing, 8:30 p.m. tomorrow night. Hey, East Coast, next week, Wednesday night, it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to hear from the people in Philly. We want to know if the Eagles are going back to the Super Bowl next year. In the Central Time Zone, we want to hear from Chicago. Can y'all go from worst to first? That's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Mountain, can Sean Payton get the Broncos over the hump? We want to hear from Denver at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And then next week, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, Fresno, stand up. What are the Fresno State Bulldogs going to do this year? We want to hear from y'all in Fresno, the Jackson, Mississippi, or California. Wednesday night, people.
You're going to stop this Jackson slander, sir. You're going to stop
this. Man, he's going to let Jackson and Fresno have it for a solid year now. That boy is a fool. Hey, listen. And y'all get mad at Rob for talking about Charles City. Talk about him for wearing that Texas shirt and hitting LSU fan. That's your comeback.
You guys, I want to go over two things before we get off the air. I want to go over two NFL over-unders, okay? Let's go over Washington. They were selected to be last in the division, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Eagles ahead of them. Their over-under is at six and a half games.
Oh,
where are you at with those guys? Where are you at with the Redskins? I'm sorry,
I got
the Commanders.
Gap with this
but
team.
Maybe the Redskins again.
I hammered out.
What'd you say, Rob?
I got a big gap with this team. I could see them being as low as 4-13 or as good as 9-8. I know that's a big gap of five games.
Yeah.
But you know, I think defensively they got a chance to be really good. And be really competitive, and that may keep them in a lot of games. And they are probably some of the best wide receivers in the league, right? You know, that tandem of Dotson and Terry. I mean, if Sam Howell could be an average quarterback, it could be, you know, a pretty decent offense as well. I'm not sure about their running game just yet, but their defense is going to keep them in a lot of games for them to be competitive. And so, like I said, I could see them being as low as 4-13 to as high as 9-8.
Well, I'm gonna go over. Hey, listen, y'all talk about Sam Howell and Eric Bieniemy. I think they both got something to prove. I'm gonna go over. I agree with you in that defense. I watched him play against a really good Ravens defense that played some starters, and they too, and he was eating their ass up in that drive that he played against. It was a couple drives. I'm gonna go over. I need to find somebody that lives in the state that I can bet on, so I can $5.
And you doubted him in my draft coverage a couple of years ago, Sam
Howell. Naj, what do you think about that in the over under on Washington?
Yeah, I think you should hammer that. I think that's a smart bet. As a matter of fact, they get a gift week one. They get Arizona. So we're really talking about five.
They won it up.
So, give me that all day, man. I'm taking that. The only concern I have is Terry McLaurin having a foot problem or turf toe. May miss week one.
Yeah.
But besides that, dude, man, yeah, give me that. 6.5, I'm taking
that. That turf toe is tricky.
Yeah, but I go out there running that position against Arizona.
Yep.
Andre, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, it's interesting. I'm not sure what's happening at the quarterback because, again, we talked about Eric Bieniemy and his whole philosophy. He's trying to make the Redskins. No. We'll talk about it later, man, because I have a whole other theory about this, too. But I agree. I think it's going to be over-under. I think it's going to be what? Let me come back to that.
Okay, what about the Packers? Over under is 7.5 games. 7.5 games.
That's abominable. I have their floor at 6-11, and I have their ceiling at 9-8. So I have them a little bit
same thing.
Tighter than I have the Commanders.
Jordan Love. We have no idea what's going to happen with Jordan Love, right? We have no clue what's happening to them. Everyone, there's a lot of questions for that. You know, the running game is
what's
strong.
What's the Saints over under?
What's that?
That's a good one.
I wonder what the Saints over under is, because I saw that video and I'm not a Saints fan, but they went down the quarterbacks and those dudes didn't play. I said, God bless, the Saints don't play fucking nobody at quarterback. That defense is good. They ain't gonna play nobody. They gonna be a problem with that defense. I know y'all don't want to hear the Stalkers fans, but I sent Rob that video. I was like, this quarterback don't play him. This quarterback don't play him. This quarterback don't play him. I said, oh shit. The Saints ain't playing nobody at quarterback. I wonder what their over-under is. I'm going to bet the over.
In a bad division with that home field advantage that they have too? Yeah, what's that number on New Orleans? I definitely want to
know. Dennis Allen on winning division, it needs to be fired.
I said the
same thing about Steve Sarkisian in Texas. If Texas don't win the Big 12 this year, he needs to be fired too.
Hey, you need to take that shit outside and put it on fire.
Do you see the over-under for that, Gary? You got to look that up.
I don't see the over and under for the New Orleans, but on the Green Bay, I think they're going to be under on Green Bay. I don't think they're going to be over. I'm not expecting much from Love. this okay. this season.
They got strong running game. They got strong running game.
Yeah,
so they got a strong running game. But I get
Bet the under on the Packers 7.5, and then take some props on Jordan Love to have a better season than we all expect, because those will be pretty low. So if you're wrong on the 7.5 and Jordan Love actually has a better season,
ooh,
which means the wins, then
right,
you know, you still protected yourself. But to the Washington point, the one thing I forgot, the only turmoil we got to remember, I believe the head coach knows the OC is going to take his job if anything good happens. So how does that work?
Wow.
That's the only problem.
It's 9.5, actually, for the Saints. That's a lot, though.
Yeah, that's
they are expecting a lot from your Saints this year. Now, like, I get they ain't playing nobody, but 9.5? Ooh, see,
yeah, I
know.
You know
what? I'm going
to go over.
I'm going to go over with
this guy.
They ain't playing. They playing us at quarterback.
Hey, I just gotta say,
I got my money on you, JQ.
If the Saints don't
shit,
win,
I got my money on me.
Dennis Allen should be fired. I know that's a lot of pressure to put on him, but if they don't win that division this year, he needs to go.
We shall see. You gotta play the game. I apologize. I was looking at some stuff about Buddy Hield.
I got to watch the Falcons team, because they got a lot of weapons on offense. So it's just a matter of what they're going to get out of Desmond Ridder.
Like I said, everyone's shitting on us, man. We got to play the games, man. So we'll see. That's why I'm not saying nothing. I'm going to see what happens.
Hey.
I'm just saying, you know, you keep seeing what's
going on. I'm not at all.
You got to play the games. I'm just saying, you know, that's why I'm going to reserve not to talk any shit. What did it say? He who crows loudest eats the most crow. But I can't really. No one knows. I mean, you can supply the weapons, so that's why.
Promotion, man. Heineken's for Heineken. Like, you can sell those in the stadium, baby. It's going down. All we got to do is wait till week four when we get Heineken in there. Let's go.
I know we already know
8.5 in the Falcons over on.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's too high.
I'm thinking over for that.
Yeah,
I'm still going over, but that's another conversation.
You know,
anyway.
You know,
they're going over
talk about that video, and the Saints don't play any of those quarterbacks, but the Falcons don't play them either. The Panthers don't play any of those quarterbacks, and the Bucks don't play any of those quarterbacks either. So, so none of those teams play any of those quarterbacks.
Sure.
Yeah, like we don't know. Like I said, but I'm hoping for improved defense. Man, we lost like what 7 games by 1 score. I mean, there's some improvement here. So, you know, obviously we got better in defense. We did. I'm not going to sit here and talk about this all, you know. But I can't talk shit because we still don't know about what's happening with Ridder. But we'll see. I do want to really quick before we wrap up, I do want to talk about this because can Buddy Hield break Steph Curry's 3-point record? And first I was thinking this is going to be tough. But looking at some research, this is pretty interesting, right? So I was looking at it and said since, 2017, 2018, that nobody, not even Curry, has made more three-pointers than Buddy Hield. He's made, like, what, 1,557 three-pointers. He's averaged, in the past 5 seasons, about 276 made threes. And they're saying if he does it this year, he's going to jump from 29th on the all-time list to 17th. That's a huge gap. If he makes 278 this season, he'll jump Dirk Nowitzki, who is 16th, and he makes 284, he'll jump Jason Kidd, who's actually at 15th. So right now,
I never saw
Hield,
Jason Kidd hit 3-point.
That's what I was looking at, right? That's the crazy part. Kidd is 15th on the list. And it says
when he got old and slowed down, those standstill three-pointers, he had a lot of them.
Yeah.
I'm in for season,
a lot
of course, but
this is pretty interesting for me, guys, because it says that he's only interested in his 8th season, right? So if he plays another 10 years, like, you know, if he plays until his 40s, he has the opportunity to actually to do some damage. He doesn't get hurt.
And
he
now,
like, no, games
stop
in
that
the
shit.
Season. What?
Oh, buddy,
what do you mean?
Actually,
I'm just saying,
the last,
like,
6 years has the most 3-pointers in the league. In the last 6 years.
I don't
years.
Give a damn. You gonna put money in Buddy Hield. Look at Buddy Hill's goofy ass. Are you gonna keep yourself in the kind of shape that he needs to be in to play 10 more years and shoot that clip? When you watch this with Curry, dude? Listen, that dude Curry's a whole different animal. He might get there and I will get on here. I will call y'all all up individually and eat crow and say I was wrong. I don't believe that shit.
That sounds
you
crazy.
I don't think Buddy Hill going to break it. I don't think Buddy Hill going to break it. I just said the last 6 years, he got more threes than anybody.
I'm going to say, whenever I first saw this, I was like, no. I'm like, it's not going to happen. I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh. I mean, and I'm not saying that it's just like he could be the guy to do it. Am I putting all my money on it? I'm just saying, but you look at the stats, there's a lot of things that have to go. Like I said, he hasn't been hurt. He's got to play 10 more seasons. He's only in his eighth season. If he plays for 10 more seasons to play, and you know Steph Curry's going to slow down, you know, but Steph will probably be like, what, 4,000 at that juncture, but you never know.
For him to
play, I'm not saying it's like, yeah, go ahead. He's not LeBron James.
He's not going to be, I doubt if he'll be playing until he's in his 40s. I really doubt that.
I'm with you. I'm saying that what they said.
Why are y'all booing Dre? He's right. Why are y'all booing Dre? He's right. Look, if it's not Buddy, it's going to be somebody else. This is an artificial inflated stat because when Steph came in, you kind of had to earn three-pointers, and now we're playing in a three-point league where guys are shooting 10 three-pointers a game who back in the day would have never been allowed to even have a green light to, you know, even think about shooting that much. So these guys who are walking into the league and they're going to be shooting 10 a night, Steph didn't start shooting 10 a night till what, like year three or four? So just numerically – a bunch of guys are going to pass Steph, but we're going to know that they're not better shooters than Steph, and we're going to see that by, you know, percentage and how much points they average and everything else. So they're going to pass Steph and be much worse players than Steph Curry was. But they're going to pass Steph just by volume because we shoot so many threes in today's NBA. So this is basically an artificial inflated stat. But, yeah.
No,
that's three, so that's a good point.
Right. But that also assumes that the league keeps at the same pace. Like we saw where the big man was the thing. Now the big man stretches back out and you shoot three. So who's to say in the next 5 years it doesn't return back to a little bit more back to the, you know, more post play. So that just assumes that you're going to stay on this arc where everybody just comes out and jacks threes every game. So I don't know if you can snake that statement because if you just said that when we were younger, that damn, you won't even have the guys that go to the post anymore. We just say, get the hell out of here. This is the big fan game. Now it isn't. If you go back to that, you get more to a hybrid of those two. I can't say that it's going to be this way forever and always. So that assumes that piece of it. I'm not ready to make that assumption.
Well you're both right. You're both right, and here's why you're both right. It's because yes, you know, it can be inflated. People can throw up attempts, and one of these guys can pass Steph. And also, records are meant to be broken. You know, they're out there. People know that, you know, who's that number one guy. And whether it's in baseball, whether it's in basketball, whether it's in football, there's always some record that someone's chasing. And every once in a while we see some that will take a long time to be broken. I think this is one of them. I was looking at the top 10 guys, Steph, Ray Allen, retired. Reggie retired. Harden, he's just – I don't think he has it in him anymore.
He's back.
Korver, Lillard.
Retired.
Vince Carter.
Retired.
Jason Terry. LeBron James. He's got a different game. He's not going to jack up that kind of threes. You know, Klay Thompson, he's at the end of his career. Of those people, probably the only one that could come close to that, potentially maybe Lillard, but the rest of the guys are either retired or they have a different game. So to have a guy that's going to come from where he's at right now and he's shot a lot of threes, you're going to have the league stay exactly the way it is in a league that changes all the time.
Yeah. And the thing about Buddy Hill, he shoots about 15 of them bad boys a game and he only hit four of them.
That's what I'm saying, man. This is an artificial inflated stat. These guys aren't going to be better than Steph, but they're going to pass Steph. Like I said, Trey walks in shooting 10 threes a game. Steph had to earn that before we all recognized it. And again, three is more than two, so this is not changing anytime soon, man.
Yeah, I will say this. There was a dumb organization, and I won't call any names, that traded Buddy Hill. They drafted Buddy Hill and traded him to Sacramento for DeMarcus Cousins. just dumb.
Anyway, I wasn't trying to, like, cause any problems. I was just reading that because, again, whenever I first saw the problem, I'm like, no, I immediately, like, and I was like, let me actually look this up. And I was looking at the numbers, and the statistics, as Naj was talking about, actually does, you know, make sense. He's one of the best, you know, three-point shooters, but we never – he's never really talked about that. You're like, oh, damn. And why? Because the number says he's made more than Steph Curry over the past, like you said, a couple of seasons. You're like, what? This guy is actually killing it. Now, again, I agree with you. I mean, can he keep up the same type of longevity? But he's only played for 8 seasons, so he does have a little more time on his hands. And, you know, if he plays with a good team, but he's just known as an assassin, just shooting threes, you know, who knows? I'm just going to play, you know, a couple minutes and shoot threes. That's all I'm here for. He can actually do it. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. So.
Yeah, I was
Damian Lillard. What's
the
latest on that situation, Garrett?
Well, you know, they're probably just the same thing you guys are hearing, that it's kind of at a standstill with Miami. They want more than what Miami has to offer. They're waiting for another team to get involved with it. We'll see how it goes. Dane did say that he would report to camp, so it breaks my heart because I love the guy.
Contract.
Yeah. So,
gotcha.
But he has the right to be able to go to a team and, you know, play and maybe win a championship. But at the same token, I also see the organization's position where they want to get what the most they can for that particular asset they have in Lillard. And if the Heat doesn't have enough assets or it's not what the Blazers want, then they should be able to go and trade him if he wants out to that team that has what they want.
Yeah, but Pat Riley and Miami need to stop being stubborn. Get them boys close to market value. Go ahead and add the young people and the picks and make the trade happen. And everybody comes out better on the other side. Because, like I said, when Dame finishes his career, he's going to want to be in Portland as the ambassador of the Blazers, and the Blazers are going to want that too. That's going to be money for almost the rest of his life, and they might as well get it done. And nobody else – come on, man. Nobody else is offering anything. So just get it done and stop playing. So Scoot can lead the team without Dame looking over his shoulder too, because you need to do the rebuild. You got Scoot because Charlotte is stupid and didn't draft him. So let's go. I'm ready
to
get there with
him. Yeah, that man said, Paul George, Brent Little said, Paul George is my goat. I said, bro, I can no longer take you seriously. When you said that and doubled down on it, that lets me know that you are an idiot and you cannot be my draft pick. And they drafted me. I said, man, Charlotte is just going to be a mess forever. Because how do you look at that and be like, you know what, I want you. Paul George?
And at the time, Michael Jordan was the owner of the franchise, and he said that. You got to be
there. Yeah. That man got retired with shoulder blade. He's talking about he's your goat.
Now I got to be the old man. These young folks watching these damn YouTube highlight videos, yeah, Paul George can look really good if you watch a highlight video of Paul George. Watch a season.
Come on.
Watch a playoff run.
And that lets me know that you are not mentally stable enough to be my cornerstone of my franchise, because I need you to go deeper with your basketball IQ when I'm going to take you number two overall. When you said, Paul George is your goat. Stop it, man.
We'll say this. And not to dump on Portland, but Portland, you know, this is the one time where they get a win, right? Because they notoriously have missed on a lot of players and stuff like that, and we don't want to go back in history. But this is one like, yeah, okay, you got Lillard, now you got Scoot. The future's looking bright for the Blazers. So there you go, Gary. I'm showing you some flowers, Gary. How about that?
Yeah.
Appreciate you, bro.
Scoot has the potential to be a stud in this league just as much as Victor Wembanyama, in my opinion. I know Victor is
getting
all the hype, but I think Scoot has a chance to be just as good or better. I agree.
I want to see Scoot and Shadeon Sharp like Nino and G-Money, baby. losing games and putting up historic performances as you build the team around those two. Because, look, Shadeon Sharpe, dude, watch Shadeon Sharpe, man. They got a GM there, too. So him and Scoop, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, can't wait to see that. Exciting basketball. All right, gentlemen, have a good rest of your evening. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys. And please be safe this weekend, Rob. Like I said, hope everything is good down in Florida for you, too, as well, man. I know this guy is clearly, really hyping the Texas Longhorns. So, you know, I don't want to hear any more shit if I bring other different teams as well, too. So that's what we're going to do. All right, gentlemen, have a good one. We'll see you next week.
Can't spell Texas without UT. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, Spurrier talking about somebody else. No. Spurrier got so many bars.
Appreciate you, Dodge.
I'm messing up.
Bye, y'all.
Keep it up, Dodge. Good night. Keep it up, Dodge. We appreciate you, man. I love it. I love it. Deuces, guys.